Bowtech Archery prides themselves on offering a bow for everyone. Whether you have a short draw length, a long draw length, pull 70 pounds or 40 pounds, you're a bow hunter or a target archer, they offer a bow that can be customized to fit your body type. On top of that, their deadlock technology allows you to fine-tune your arrow flight. Visit bowtecharchery.com and check out the SR350 and the CP28. Bowtech Archery, refuse to follow.
This is the Average Conservationist podcast brought to you by Outdoor Class and in partner with 2% for Conservation. Outdoor Class is the new single source of premium outdoor education from trusted, knowledgeable experts. For hunters committed to improving their skills, Outdoor Class is the only subscription-based e-learning platform that provides unlimited access to video lessons from the world's most respected experts covering topics across a hunter's entire journey. Learn from industry leaders like Corey Jacobson, Randy Newberg, Remy Warren, and other prominent personalities in the organizations. Sign up today and use code AVERAGE to save 20%. 2% for Conservation's mission is to create an alliance of businesses and individuals that ensure the future of hunting and angling by committing their time and dollars to fish and wildlife. 1% of your time plus 1% of your money equals 2% for Conservation. 2% helps businesses and people pair with conservation causes to support things that fit what they care about. Whether you're into fishing, hunting, or just getting outdoors, 2% can help you not only start giving back to wildlife, but get certified for it. Getting 2% certified means you've made the same commitment as popular brands like Sitka, Stone Glacier, and Seek Outside in giving at least 1% of your time and dollars back to wildlife. But it's not just for outdoor companies. Breweries, contractors, coffee roasters, and even piano repair companies have earned 2% certification and stand out as leaders in their communities for doing so. Businesses that are committed to conservation deserve your business when you shop. Learn more about 2% for Conservation at fishandwildlife.org. That's fishandwildlife.org. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Average Conservationist podcast, and I'm your host, Marcus Ewing. on the podcast with me today, I have Eric Clark from the OKS Hunter, and Eric was a guest on the podcast. I think we figured it out after we actually got done recording close to 2 years ago, and at the time, OKS Hunter was still kind of in its infancy stages, if you will, in terms of they had launched probably 3 or 4 months before we actually started, or actually before we recorded that episode of the podcast. So to see where Eric and the team at OKS Hunter has, where they have gotten to now from the early stages is incredible. The brand and the mission, or the mission behind the brand of OKS Hunter really is just about hunters enjoying the hunt, doing what excites them, when it comes to, shooting a deer, shoot what excites you, what makes you happy. It's your hunt. It's your tag. Use it how you see fit. And that message resonates and continues to resonate with just a large number of hunters, whether it's, your average weekend warrior, someone who's just getting into hunting. They've certainly found a community of like-minded people through the OKS Hunter. And, not only, what they've built there, but Eric and his team have their own podcast. They sell a ton of really cool merchandise, as well. And, kind of throughout all that have been able to, help raise a bunch of money, for conservation, which is, certainly part of their ethos and their mission, there at OKS Hunter. Unlike some kind of previous episodes, where we certainly are getting into, kind of the origin story of the business, maybe why conservation plays into the company and why it's important. Eric and I have kind of hashed that out already in the previous episode. So really we got to talk just a lot about the business side of things and, where things are going, how they've been able to get there, the success that they're finding, what's to come for the OKS Hunter. They just wrapped up a 3D archery shoot think it was a few weeks back out there in Wisconsin. And, you know, it was a great success. They raised a ton of money for conservation, got a bunch of people out there to enjoy the day, and are already looking at ways on how it can be, you know, more successful isn't the right word, how it can be more fulfilling and more family oriented next year as well. So, you know, we talk about that. We talk about, you know, kind of what is to come for the season for Eric, and, you know, what that looks like and the time that he's actually able to devote to getting out in the woods, just, you know, having three young kids and a job and a business and all that stuff. And, you know, sometimes his time and or his free time specifically is a bit of a premium. So it's just a really fun conversation that Eric and I had. It's one that I think you guys will certainly enjoy. And there's certainly some great takeaways from Eric and his experiences and what he has kind of dealt with or what he has implemented, I guess is a better way to put it, in his life from a business side of things over the last couple of years. So episode 118, Eric Clark from the OKS Hunter. Today's episode is going to be brought to you by my friends over at Hardside Hydration. If you're looking for a rugged and dependable hydration setup for the backcountry, you need to visit hardsidehydration.com. Go over there, check out their swig rig. It's bomb proof in terms of your hydration setup for the backcountry. And typically those are not two things that are synonymous with one another, but if you head over, check out the swig rig. What it does is it converts any Nalgene bottle into your hydration setup. So it's going to give you an option that's easy to clean, easy to access, and it's going to give you that peace of mind that your equipment is not going to fail. And another bright spot is if you're a guy or gal who likes to, you know, add supplements to your hydration, swig rig, super easy to clean, comes apart. Not like having to try to clean a water bladder or something like that. So you're going to really enjoy that as well. So again, head over to hardsidehydration.com. All right, Mr. Eric Clark, the OKS Hunter. Welcome back to the podcast, man. How are you?
Good. When was the last time we did this?
Gosh, you know, I was thinking about that earlier, and I was going to try to go back through kind of the archives and see when exactly it was, but I didn't get a chance to. But it's easily over a year ago at this point.
Yeah, I know I have that episode on our website, on our podcast page. So I'll have to add this one whenever it airs as to the list.
Yeah.
Rank it up to the.
Well, as I mentioned here, you're really bailing me out here because we're recording this on Labor Day. So as soon as we get done recording, I have to turn around, edit this, and get it all set for Wednesday's release. Because, yeah, some scheduling conflicts, some people had to reschedule and drop out. And I, as I mentioned, I don't think people want to listen to me talk for a half hour, 45 minutes or so. So again, thank you for kind of bailing me out here.
Yeah. Happy to do it. I clearly love talking about the stuff. And as a podcaster myself, I totally understand the position you're in and happy to help. Hopefully we can add some value to your listeners today.
Yeah, no, I think we absolutely will, especially as we kind of get into some of the stuff that I want to cover today. So first off, man, how are you? It's been, I mean, we got to catch up for just a quick minute, but how's everything going in your world?
It's good. You know, it's a lot of stuff. It's hard to manage. You know, people talk about like balance and I don't know about any of that. I think it's just, I can't really turn this stuff off.
Yeah.
So it's just integrated and intertwined with my regular life. And now I have a different career than I did at this point in time versus when we talked last. And my career is in the outdoor industry as well. So there's some further alignment there that at least isn't so far apart. So I'm a lot happier doing that. And then as a result, because I'm happier and there's like some relationship between the two worlds, I don't feel like so weird doing more of the stuff on the OKS Hunter side of things. So that's been really a big change back in February for me. And I don't know, there's some other thought I was going to say about that, but it's been really nice to have that. I've just, my bucket's a little bit more full, and that's what I was gonna say. I can be more patient. Before I didn't hate my job. It just wasn't the job for me. I knew that from like day one, and I stuck there for 5 years and stuck around. And as a result, I thought I had to like make my other business compensate my day job 100%. And therefore it's either like this all or nothing kind of mentality. If I'm going to jump ship, I'm going to jump ship. I'm so unhappy. This doesn't make me happy. Well, then that breeds a little bit of desperation. If I were to have jumped ship and didn't have all my ducks in a row, so to speak, then I would have been like trying to make deals that wouldn't make sense. And that's not the case at all. I can be as patient as I want because I'm pretty satisfied and chill with where I'm at.
Yeah.
Making good money. I'm doing what I love. I'm on a great team. It relates to the world I'm in on the side. There's communication about both of those things. So I can, if this takes 5 years to do what I'm going to do, great. And this means we can like pick the right partners and do the right stuff. And there's no rush. It feels really good.
Yeah. That's one thing that I've noticed too, is being or trying to be more intentional about the decisions that you're making with the company or with the brand, the partners that you want to align yourself with, instead of just kind of jumping at anything that kind of presents itself or anything that's out there, because in the end, if it's not the right fit, it's going to show itself at some point, right? And that's when you're going to have to make a tough decision, or it's going to start stressing you out even more. And don't get me wrong, there's going to be, you know, trials and tribulations with any business, any brand that you're starting. But if you have that ability to take your time and to be patient with things, good things certainly come from it.
Yeah. So that feels good. So to answer your question, how am I doing? I'm pretty good. I have 3 kids, which I mentioned. All their birthdays are in September. It's a dense month. So I'm just going crazy a little bit, and that's fine. That's par for the course.
Yeah, and being in Wisconsin there, I mean, your guys' early archery season opens up in, 2 weeks, something like that?
Yeah, the 17th. If that's 2 weeks away, then I think that's accurate. I'll probably get out for one of those days of the weekend because it doesn't land on a birthday. Fortunately, it's the only weekend that actually keeps me safe from all of that. And, my wife, like, rolls her eyes. She's like, whatever, dude, you're going to do what you're going to do. It's just go, you know, and yeah. I'm either going to go with Derek or Greg, who are the podcast co-hosts. So we'll see where they're going to set me up. I haven't really done much of anything this season other than I have been able to shoot my bow, but I've not been out scouting or anything other than spring.
Yeah. So I guess kind of the first thing that I want to talk about is, you know, since I had you on, I think we kind of narrowed it down to over a year ago. We'll just kind of ballpark it in that way. But the OKS Hunter, the brand, and everything like that has really kind of taken off, kind of blown up. So tell me about that. What has that been like for you, or how did you get there? Kind of walk me through that process.
Nothing's really changed on my end as far as I'm concerned. It's same old, same old. But really it's a place that I found some success deploying the Gary Vee content model, which is, you know, finding some long form piece of content and then producing micro clips and then producing content that allows you to produce it at scale, but then make it, you know, organic or native to each social platform. So we post to Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels are two different things, Instagram stories, Facebook stories, TikTok, Facebook groups, two of them, and LinkedIn, as well as I do some writing for Medium and now Go Wild. And so we're showing up in a lot of different outlets. And we also post content to Go Wild as well, plus the podcast. So really, we're a content machine.
Machine, yeah.
And, it's primarily Tyler and I that produce any of the content that folks might see. And we post to Twitter also. That's when I was forgetting. And then we repurpose those tweets to Instagram. But we just try to maximize our content engine and YouTube Shorts. And YouTube Live. And we just hit the ground running really heavy with just meme content and GIFs and things of that nature. But, you know, more than just ha ha ha, this is funny or silly or goofy, what we try to do is like 80% of what we put out is just relatable content. Yeah. It's stuff that people see and go, hey, this is me, or hey, this is you.
100%.
That's the baseline of how we operate. From there, we throw in a dash of okayistness where it's like, haha, I forgot my release, or haha, I, you know, whatever, sharded in the stand, whatever the heck it is. And then we also have started really, maybe like a year and a half ago, really doing a lot more with like this philanthropic kind of approach to hunting. Not preachy, but just PSAs and subtle reminders of, like, you know, quoting Fred Bear or Epictetus or Marcus Aurelius. I pull a lot from Stoic philosophy. I follow and read Stoic philosophy. I have been for like 3 years now, and it's actually changed my life. for the better by far, and I'm still going through that transformation and change and trying to practice that stuff. But I found that it has a good coupling when I apply it to deer hunting. And we end up facing a lot of controversy and negativity and bullying type stuff and just shit comments coming our way.
Yeah.
And every time that happens, it's an opportunity for us to show up and just do more good. So every time someone says something bad or slanders us, it's an opportunity to show up and like be good to that person, show the community what positivity looks like in action, rather than like get into a grappling with that person, wrestle them down to the bottom. Like that's not, we'll never go tit for tat.
Right.
And it's like really hard not to, because, you know, yeah, of course my blood is boiling and I want to just punch that person in the face metaphorically and just destroy them. Right. But that's not going to do anybody any good. They've already done it to themselves if they're going to be an a-hole. So, you know, that's how have things changed. I'm just trying to further not perfect, but hone in on my ability to be more stoic about our brand and how we go to market with that stuff. So, you know, anytime something like that happens, the four of us, me, Greg, Derek, and Tyler, you know, we say kill them with kindness. Like that's all we're ever going to do. We're never going to just be mean to someone privately or publicly. It's just not who we are, not how we want to act. And how we want to portray and represent the hunting community. So we're trying to be the exemplar of that. And, you know, in doing all this stuff and having that positive message, that strong mission, that relatability, that sparked a chord with a number of folks. Having the content machine churn out content, you know, up to 3 times a day, in addition to blogs and podcasts, you know, it's hard to maybe get away from us. Some people love it. Some people might hate it. Some people might not care at all. But, you know, we're definitely, I don't know, we're shipping products all over the country every single day. I think we got like, I don't know, 12 orders today alone.
Yeah.
And I think Tyler, he does all the fulfillment. I think he has like 40 orders to fulfill tonight.
Oh, wow.
So he'll probably be up to like 2 a.m, like stacking boxes in his den at his house. It's crazy.
I mean, that's awesome to hear. A few things based on what you said there. Do you actually get a lot of people who kind of come at you with that negativity and stuff like that? Because obviously I've been following you guys along for a couple of years anyway. Like you said, everything has always been positive, right? And the way that you guys go about handling your business in terms of the content that you're putting out is I just don't see how someone could come at it and be like, say something rude or negative or
it's more than you'd think, but it's probably like 1-2% that will do that. The problem is that 1-2% is really loud. Like no one's ever called into customer service for, you know, AT&T, Verizon, you name it, whatever cell phone company you have, and said, hey, you know, I just want to call and say great job today, guys. Like they're called cost centers for a reason because people call to piss and moan and complain and fix issues. It's a call center. It's like a cost center. It's like they're there to handle problems. I worked at a call center in college and I took thousands of calls, thousands. And literally one person did call to say, hey, you're doing a great job to the company. Right. And I just haven't even got to answer that call. But I was like, but can I help you with something? Like, do you want me to like log in your account? What do you need?
Yeah.
I just couldn't get it. I was like, what? But like, what do you want? Like, is there gotta be something? Like, no, that's it. And, you know, the negative stands out, the positive, albeit it's there, it's not loud. So we, you know, I stole this from Gary Vee, of course, but like make positivity and kindness louder. That's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to like, if we get a negative comment, let's just dog pile on more positivity to drown that out.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. You got your keyboard cowboys and warriors and your weekend, like the people that just are there to, you know, like they said in The Dark Knight Rises, some people like to watch the world burn.
Yeah, no, that's true.
People like to stir the pot. And sometimes it's sarcastic and funny, but you lose some of that tone in text and tweets and comments. So it's hard to know. So we get on the defense a little bit too heavy sometimes. So we got to watch ourselves. We got to police our own methods on that stuff too. But you know, you scroll through enough comments in our stuff and boy, I can't tell when people like are maybe a-holes about the fact that we have the saying like can't eat the horns. We have a hat that says can't eat the horns.
Yeah.
And like 80% of the comments are, you know, they're antlers. It's like, well, yeah, we know what they're called. Of course they're antlers, but that's the joke. You're missing the joke. And they're mean about it though. Like,
yeah,
maybe you should. You know, you're not a real hunter. You should stop hunting. Who's letting you do this? Like, what's wrong with you? You're misinforming the whole population of hunters. It's like, yeah. So it's social media. You just you expose yourself and your brand to hundreds of thousands of people, and you're going to get that kind of stuff. There's lots of human beings in the world, and there's places for the idiots too, right? They're the people that are going to piss you off, or
yeah. Oh yeah.
Or, you know, has their place in this world, and that's part of humanity. It's okay.
Now, have you found that, I mean, you guys have always kind of taken that positive approach, but when you really kind of leaned into that, right, and made that like, hey, regardless of what comes our way, we're going to make sure that we kill them with kindness, that, you know, for every negative comment, there's going to be, you know, three or four positive comments that we're going to come back with. Have you noticed a real, like when you really leaned into that, like a big shift in the interactions that you have with your customers or your content, that you started to get more eyes on you that way by not kind of stooping to their level? Or has it been kind of a gradual thing? Just the more you kind of really started to pump out that content on, you know, all the various medians and everything, that you really started to see that growth?
I mean, the trolls do give us a lot of content that we wouldn't have thought about. Like, they poke holes in things that we didn't consider. And I welcome that. Like, I want to be challenged. If we're doing some harm to the industry or the community or whatever, like, from a dear quality management perspective, QDMA or whatever, you know, if we're saying shoot spikes, never pass, blah, 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 and that's actually doing harm, like, well, then we want feedback on that, because maybe we should alter our message a little bit, because that's not our goal. Like, we're conservationists, you know, we're part of 2%, as you're aware. And, you know, I don't think that's the case at all, by the way. And there's always deeper meaning to what we do. A lot of our stuff is very dense. Never pass means never pass on making a memory a field. Never pass on doing what makes you happy. Never pass on a chance to fill your freezer if that's what your goal is. Never pass on shooting a 200-inch deer if that's what you're doing. Like, never pass on doing what you ought to do. It's your tag, it's your hunt, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, if you just take that surface value and you don't kind of peel the onion layers back, or parfait, if you're thinking about Shrek, then, like, you don't even know what we're talking about yet. So a lot of times it's someone's first interaction, or like they've their first exposure to our brand. They don't understand that that's our true message. So if we're gonna be a jackass to them out of the gate, that's not going to do anybody any good.
Right.
We can actually obtain those folks as followers over time. And some of those, you know, locking horns and going comment for comment, have ended pretty well, shockingly. And to me, again, it's more practice and sparring of like applying Stoic philosophy. And every time I get an opportunity to do that, it's exciting, because I read about it every single day. I read these passages from like meditations, and when that stuff happens, I'm like, okay, I feel my adrenaline spiking, my blood boiling. This means I need to take a second, you know, go for a walk, calm down, remove myself from it, and come back at it with a cooler head and see how I can like approach this diplomatically.
Yeah. It's funny how you said a lot of those interactions are when you have, you know, an actual back and forth, that it usually ends well. Sometimes it's surprising to me that if someone has, you know, a snarky or sarcastic comment or whatever the case is, and you come back at them with, like you said, with kindness, you know, if you're actually explaining whatever your message or anything like that was, how they kind of, I don't want to say they backtrack on their original statement, but their next follow-up.
It's like, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way, you know, or whatever. And it's like road rage. You got to remember, there's a person driving that car. It's not just a car, okay?
Right.
And we've all had road rage, and I've too, not to the degree that some people do, not like carrying a bat around, like getting on my car and beating the shit out of people. But there is this sense that, like, when you're seeing people on the internet, they're not there, you know? But they are. They are humans. You have to remember that that is a person that has their own perspective on the world, that it was taught hunting a certain way. Tradition was passed down from grandpa, great-grandpa to dad and so forth. Like, they're saying something because they believe it viscerally, because that's how they were exposed to it.
Right.
So if they're challenging what I'm saying, they're doing it because they feel attacked, or it's different than what they've known or learned. So again, if you come at someone and you challenge their belief system, they're going to go further on the defense and go further into that like modality of like fighting,
right,
to defend that. That's like the laws of human nature. A book that I've read two times now by Richard Green has a chapter about like softening the defense of another person. Like, how do you actually approach someone that is coming at you that way? And these are the things that I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to transcend all of this stuff so I can like, I want to bridge this like wedge that is happening. Like, we are fighting amongst ourselves, and the goal of the brand is to bring this community together and show how great it can really be, because it is a little fractured right now, and fractured in the sense that it's broken in some ways. And there's so much good, and I'm speaking about a very small percentage of what's happening, but toxicity is contagious. Like, that stuff, it can spread like wildfire.
Oh, yeah.
And it can, you know, a bad egg can ruin the bunch is kind of the thing. And that's very true here. Like, it takes one jackass to make a bad example. We got, this is incredible. I'm going to read you something, and I'm going on a rant here.
No, you're good. But
this, we have what we call the OKS Hunter crew, or the OKS crew. So you have to submit an application to join it. If you join it, you get all these benefits from other brands, from us, and so forth. So, you know, if you're going to apply to it, you have to tell us why you think you align with the brand. You can't just, like, be there for free stuff. Okay, that's to speak to you. So I'm not going to say the person's name, but they said, this is their words, quote, "On my first hunting trip as a kid, I was scolded by my uncle for shooting a small 6-point on his property. It about ruined my hunting experience if not for these two other hunters that were there. They reassured me that this was a great deer for my first hunt and not to worry about it. And they told me all about their mistakes they'd made over the years, and I've been on this hiatus from hunting for 22 years now. When I was exploring getting back into it, I was hesitant due to all the standard YouTube influencer types that I saw out there, always the biggest and elaborate hunts. Finding OKS Hunter was like finding those two guys from my uncle's property all over again. Without the content you guys create or the message you send, I wouldn't be preparing for my white hunt in over 20 years.
It's incredible.
That's, like, incredible.
Yeah.
That is, like... So to say, like, someone can get shamed, and people say we're we've been called the trophy hunting award, or like the trophy award of, like, you know, everyone gets a trophy of hunting, which is funny. Like, you know, it's actually kind of clever to, like, come up with that shit. That's not what we're doing. But if the worst case scenario of someone getting, you know, bashed on, and that's not social media, that was 20 some years ago before social media existed. Yeah. It was an uncle, a relative that said, "How dare you shoot that 6-point basket rack? What are you thinking, kid?" And they didn't hunt for 22 years. You're potentially depriving someone of the thing that we love so much that we're trying to get people involved in.
Yeah, a lifetime of memories.
Yeah. So, you know, we're all about, like, let's bring more people into the fold. Let's, like, we want this thing to be around for a long time. I don't want to get into, like, the political side of it, but, like, we are vastly outnumbered on the polls. I've had Brad Luttrell from Go Wild on the podcast talk about this deeply on an episode that he was on. And it was, like, really interesting to hear his perspective, because he's far more business-like than I am and knows more and has a lot more experience. But if this stuff ever goes to the polls, we lose 100%. If everyone in hunting showed up, we lose completely.
Yeah.
So it doesn't help that we're, like, infighting. We need to bring more people into this. And if more people want to come into it and we look like a bunch of jerks that are being mean to each other, then people aren't even going to bother. They're gonna be like, yeah, you know, F that, I'm out. I'm not even going to bother joining that community.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is this, like, you know, the R3, retain, reactivate, and recruit, or whatever the order is there, recruit, retain, reactivate. I think we help with that in some way.
Well, yeah, because especially in this day and age, right, you brought up a point there about the having the conversation and, you know, bridging that gap and just having an open mind when we go into these conversations, or when someone sees a meme or they see a post or something that doesn't align with the way they view hunting or the way that it was that they were exposed to it. Like you mentioned, they go on the defense automatically. And like you said, you're trying to go into there, you know, into that conversation or that interaction with an open mind and, you know, explaining and maybe asking questions, you know, from their perspective, you know, why they see things that way and just creating that dialogue. And I think, you know, that whole approach that whole approach in general is something that not only can we certainly benefit from in the hunting community, but I mean, that's the world that we live in right now, where that if someone doesn't agree with
basically anything, right?
Yeah.
It surely is. And hunting is, you can get inflamed pretty quickly because it is something that you hold so close, because it's so familiar, like there's so much family ties that go into it and tradition. I think it's a particularly strong use case to apply this stuff and have an impact. I think other things can apply too, but like you compare it to golf and it's not the same. Like it's just not.
Yeah. You know, and that's what's funny too is, you know, obviously I've had a chance to talk to you and to Greg a few times over the last couple of years. You know, we've recorded, you know, you know, more than one podcast with each other, and certainly interactions just like through social media and stuff like that. So I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of you guys, you know, having had, you know, multiple conversations with you. I feel comfortable saying like, yeah, I know who Eric is, or I know who Greg is. So whenever I see your stuff, like, even if it's something that I don't agree with, right, I'm always like, I know where they're coming from. I know what the point of the post is. I know what they're trying to convey or to get across. I think it's great because what you said earlier, I mean, there is, I can't even count how many posts and memes and things like that that you guys have put out where I'm like, huh, been there before, right? Been there. That's, oh yeah, that's me to a T. And it's, there's a lot more people out there like us that are okayest, that are average at hunting. We're, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to shoot what gets us fired up, irregardless of what someone else may say. And I think a lot of people are, I don't want to say ashamed, but they're a little scared to kind of come out and say like, oh yeah, I'm in that same boat, right? Because it's not necessarily what social media and influencers and people like that have trained us to think is okay when it comes to hunting or to harvesting a deer.
Yeah, no, I think, and there's this, the five stages that I think have been discussed, and most hunters have heard about that through, like, you know, hunter safety and so forth. But, you know, everyone's at a different spot in their, what we, you know, reference as the hunting journey or the stages of the deer hunter or what have you. And, you know, as a result, like, be mindful of that. You know, that might be that person's first deer. Like, I didn't get my first deer with a bow, and it was a doe fawn till what was it, the year my daughter was born. So it would have been 2017.
Yeah.
So I was 32 or something. Or 31, I don't know, somewhere in there. I was not a child at all. So, and when I posted that, I got, you know, there's a lot of hate getting thrown my way, and I was like, geez, what, you know what? I was really proud of it, but now I'm not. Thanks a lot. Yeah. And then I felt weird. Like, this is, why am I, what? Like, what happened? You know, this is like the brotherhood of hunting. I went out and I hunted, and I harvested a deer with my bow from 15 yards on the ground. I have me a doe fawn. Everyone's like, dude, you're old enough to not have done that, taken that deer. I'm like, what do you know about my hunting situation? You have no idea.
Yeah.
I got a deer with my bow ever. I hadn't gotten one in years with my gun even. So that was the first time I got to put meat in my freezer. And it was the year my daughter was born. I was out like a week after she was born. I was like, this is incredible. So yeah, that was actually the kickoff point in my mind as to how I think I bought the domain name like the next day or two. Or like I was trying to think about it. I think I was going to call it Humble Hunter, and I found some gal that has an Instagram page called the Humble Huntress. So I was like, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Even if it could make it work, I have to compete with that, and it's not going to work for me. So then I, you know, came up with what I came up with.
So what's to come? What is next for the OKS Hunter?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to divulge too much. Not
yeah,
that I,
that's
you know,
fair.
I always hate that, like, ooh, you know, can't talk about it. Like, I don't care. It's not like what we're doing is so unique that someone's going to steal our idea or whatever. I'd rather have people know where we're going so it makes sense. But, you know, we own OKS Golf or OKS Camp or OKS Fisher and OKS a couple other things.
Oh, you went out and cleaned house.
Yeah, we're just, you know, again, using that relatability as the through line for what we're talking about. This stuff applies to everything. And this kind of thing goes on everywhere. And our mission here in the hunting category is really, really strong. So this is where we're focused and we're planting roots and building the blueprint, really. And maybe we won't go in those other categories. Maybe we will. I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, we're owned by or OKS Hunter is a DBA doing business as, and the official business is Base Layer Media. And Base Layer Media, in my belief, has, if you're a media company, you have three outlets. You have the written word, like blogs and articles and so forth, the editorial. You have audio, in this case, podcasting or radio. And then you have pictures and videos or movies. And those are the three pillars of media. And so we're just slowly charting our course of building out those pillars. We have our podcast and we hope to grow that, whether that's acquiring others or partnering with others or building a network or whatever we're going to do with that, or having other podcasts that live in those other domains. We have the written piece that we're working on building now. We have, you know, I think just shy of a half dozen freelance writers that we're working with to help us produce, you know, good quality editorial that speaks to the hunting community, that has that relatability piece to it. And then the video side we're working on. We'll see where we get with it. We might be a little too early as it stands, but we're trying to build a hunting show that's different than others. I also believe in different, not better.
Yeah.
A book I got from Y Combinator called Play Bigger. talks about, like, you know, when 5-hour energy drink came out, there was no more room for energy drinks. It was totally saturated, but this is a different drink. You have to drink a bunch of coffee and stain your teeth, or get tea, or like drink something hot, or get another cold energy drink. So you have to pee 1,000 times on a road trip. You just get this one shot at the front counter, not even the refrigerated section.
Yeah.
And boom, you got energy. That was different. It's not better than a Red Bull. It's just different.
Yeah.
We're not better than any other hunting brand. We're just different. And so for us, that hunting show might end up looking something more like The Office and like not cinematic and not like dramatic and dramatized, just like me racing home to get my kids in their Halloween costumes, or trying to get my freaking boot on my foot while Greg points and laughs at me because he's a jackass, because, you know, we're like a married couple, or my wife glaring at me because I interrupted her laundry to do my own laundry, but I won't do any other laundry other than my hunting stuff.
Of course.
So it's like,
yeah,
stuff like that, right? So different, not better. Will it be professional? Yes, it'll be professional. I think everything we do is a high quality. Our apparel, our hats, all 5-star reviews. We don't skimp on quality at all. We try to put out high quality content from the podcast standpoint. Our equipment is good. It's high quality. Same thing with the show and so forth, the writing and everything we do, which is comical because we're okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a bit of a duality that we try to play on there. It's kind of funny. So,
no, well, that's exciting, man. I said it before, but congratulations on all the success that you guys are having, because it's from someone who I feel like has kind of been around or has been following and spoken to you kind of since the early days, which is funny to say, because, you know, OKS Hunter has been around for what, 3 years maybe?
Yeah, June 2020 officially. So was the literal, like, LLC was formed, website was launched and so forth. So like hard, right, right middle of the year of 2020. I mean, we started testing stuff out, I think late August of 2019. And then we had enough indication to say, like, let's do it for real. And here we are. So, you know, usually it takes these, from what I understand, businesses 3 to 5 years to get in the black. I'd say we're doing well. You know, we might Grant Cardone this shit. We might actually 10x what we did last year.
Nice.
Which is insane to think about. And then we're trying to, you know, align with products in addition to like merch, not just hats and shirts. We want to actually do products that are practical, but
yeah,
complement the brand and the ethos in what we're trying to do. And the more we make, the more we donate to conservation, the better off we become. We can expand our conservation efforts. Right now it's pretty small because we're pretty small. We don't have a lot, and
right,
we're just busting our tails and trying as hard as we can with what we got. So we're very scrappy.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, I'm talking about the conservation piece of it is, you know, having only 4 of you guys that are, you know, 3 or 4 of you guys that are a part of the OKS Hunter and everything that you're producing and putting out, you know, that means that it's only going to be the 4 of you that are, you know, that have the output in terms of conservation. So giving back, you know, your time and your dollars and everything, but that little bit is more than maybe, you know, 4 guys down the road are doing who just are hunting buddies. Right. So I don't, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't poo poo or diminish what you guys are doing from the conservation side, just because it's only the 4 of you, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting because I have big grandiose plans and big visions, and you got to get there one day at a time. And going back to Gary Vee, a big mentor of mine, so to speak, micro patience and macro, or macro patience and micro speed, meaning like in the long term, you got to have your vision, be very patient. It's going to take 10 years to get there. And it's already taken me 10 years to get here. I started everything in 2013. If you back up far enough and look at the whole picture of what I've been up to, with, you know, what was previously Where to Hunt and so forth.
Right.
But, and then micro speed, like every day we work really, really, really hard having that patience along the vision. He calls it clouds and dirt. Like, you got to have your vision and your strategy and be in the clouds and look ahead. And then you got to be in the dirt, lifting your freaking sleeves up and getting the work done,
yeah,
which is kind of rare. Like, someone's got to freaking steer the Titanic, but someone's got to be in the engine room feeding, yeah, the coal. Like,
right,
you got to be a bit of both. And one doesn't work without the other.
Yeah. No, that's a very good piece of advice for anyone out there that's kind of starting on their own entrepreneurial journey. Tell me about what you guys just had I think maybe it was a couple weeks ago, Foam Fest, that you guys kicked off. Tell me about that.
No, thank you. It was so we did Greg and I went to a friend of ours, Anthony Heller, runs Deer Vein. And he puts on a shoot. It's the second year that he did it this year on his own property. It's 80 acres or maybe a little bit more. It's a big property. It's very diverse. It's in the Driftless region of Wisconsin. And so lots of like, it's a strenuous course.
Yeah. Honestly.
Like you could probably turn into a freaking tack and it'd be like, you'd be hoofing for air and sucking wind. But at that event, I was like, we should do this. We should do an event. How fun is this? You know, I would say, let's not do it on diverse terrain, make it more casual. Like, I don't want to like do away with the deer camp bot. I got to keep this thing in shape for deer camp. But so I was like, what if we call it Foam Fest? Like killing foam. And there's a brewery that we love called Hubbleton Brewery in Wisconsin. And they make great beer. They're on 40 acres. I thought, let's talk to the owner and see if he'll let us up a course. So we did. He said yes. So we booked it. So to speak. And we Foam Fest in the sense you're drinking beer. There's beer foam and there's foam. And then that was going to be the whole thing. Well, then the venue wasn't going to work anymore because they were in some sort of, I wouldn't say dispute. I don't want to give them the bad, like a bad name or anything, but like they were growing so fast at the town. Some old curmudgeon probably was like, hey, I don't like all this traffic coming through my, you know, street anymore.
Yeah.
And so then they had to formalize a lot of that stuff because they were just, you know, I don't think they actually were supposed to be treating like a bar, and it kind of was. They had outdoor events. They had a beer garden. They were doing live music, lots of things, big tournaments and so forth. And then he's like, yeah, now lawyers are going back and forth. And he's like, it's just not going to work to have your event because it's in the midst of all this stuff and I can't rock the boat. So no more events until we get this stuff figured out and then we'll formalize it. So then we had to like find a new event space inside of a couple of weeks, which wasn't easy to do.
No, not something like that.
No, we found an archery club that I had to meet with the board of directors. I had to go to a general meeting. I had to join the club. I had to join the Wisconsin Bowhunter Association. And then they literally like the, you know, swath of a gavel and on the all in favor of OKS Hunters event, say aye. Aye. It's done. Eric, you can have your event. I was like, holy shit. So it was like a very formal thing. And I was up there till like, it was a Thursday night. I didn't get home till 11:30 p.m. It was insane. And so we got our event squared away, but what we want it to be next year, because this was meant to be a test year anyways, do we want to do events? What does it look like? What are the learnings? We're going to have a lot of learnings in the first one. Let's just dip our toe in and see how it goes. So we had just under 40 people show up, and we did a bunch of giveaways. We gave away a couple bear archery bows, Vector custom shop arrows. A lot of folks that we already do work with on the podcast side donated some product. So we led with a lot of that, and then additional things too. And we actually are donating 2% for conservation from a 50-50 raffle also. And what we wanted to be going forward is, I can't tell you how many events I've been invited to or ought to go to being in this category that like, sorry, honey, I'm leaving you with three kids again this weekend because I got to go to another thing, or I should go to this thing, or I need to go to that thing, or like ATA or this shoot or that shoot or this event or this conservation day or whatever the hell it is. And I was like, I'm sick of doing that. Like,
yeah.
You know, you hear successful entrepreneurs talk about how like either I wish I brought my family with me or you should bring your family with you and the people around you. When I say with you, I don't mean literally. I do mean literally, but I also mean like figuratively, like bring them along with you or you're going to end up there alone. And I wanted my family to be there. I wanted my family, my kids to see what we're doing, to be present, to like be around the people that we're connecting with in the community that we're building. So Foam Fest is going to take shape next year into what it's actually intended to be, which is a very family-centric archery event. So there will be, hopefully, if we pull it together the way that we want to, the vision is bouncy house, bubble machines, foam for the kids, foam for the adults, go kill foam, go drink beer, bring your family, bring your wives and kids. This is a family event. We're going to have animal face painting, like woodland animal face painting. We have some connections with the DNR here in Wisconsin for the Learn to Hunt events. We're going to bring them in and get them involved. We're going to bring some vendors and get them involved and make this a really well-rounded camping, bow, archery event that is very centric to family and catered towards kids in addition to that. Because when you cater things towards children, the parents can rest easy that their kids are like having fun too. It's not just this boring thing that they're tugging at your leg the whole time. Like, I want to go home. I'm bored. Yep. They need to walk the archery course with you. That's lame for them. Like, don't make this stuff unfun for them. They're not going to get into it. If we do some things that kids love to do and they get to burn a bunch of energy all day and you get to shoot your bow and win some stuff,
it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, it's totally different. And We did this with our wedding, my wife and I. We had face paint. We had trick-or-treating because it was in October. We did, like, pumpkin paintings. We had games. We had all the stuff that was, like, focused around kids, which was, like, my wife and my mother-in-law's idea. I didn't even know half the shit was going on. And the commentary after our wedding was, like, best wedding ever. I've never been to a wedding where my kids were, like, catered to, and as a result, I got to have the most fun, and they got to have the most fun, and together we all had a ton of fun, and it was incredible. Usually it's like, I don't want your freaking kids at my wedding. It's no kids allowed. Yeah. And they got to find a babysitter, and they got to feel guilty. They got to get home at a certain time. It just was very – the dynamic was changed in such a way that I've never heard that kind of feedback. I'm like, let's do that for this event. And so, yeah, we brought, like, sensory bins and water tables, and Derek Melkor and our team did a shed hunt. He brought a box of shed antlers, and we planted them out, and kids went and ran around looking for sheds. And it was – a ton of fun. The whole thing was a ton of fun. So that, I mean, that's it. That's what Foam Fest is. And any money we raise from that can go back to conservation and so forth. It just helps us have that in-person feel. We're very digital. We're on social media and all these other places, but it's nice to, like, get in person and, like, share stories and have fun together.
Oh yeah. The face-to-face, at least speaking from, you know, a strictly podcast standpoint, the face-to-face is so much different. I mean, even though, like, right now you and I can see each other, but it's digital, right? It doesn't have quite the same feel like if I was sitting there with you or vice versa. And that's, it's something that we lost a lot of in the past, you know, few years, and everyone became accustomed to the digital way of communicating and everything like that. So to take that approach, I think is awesome. And then taking that one step further and bringing the kids involved, because you're right. It's, We as you know, young dads and young parents, I know it is for me, like, I want my kids to have the same experience that I did growing up. And it's probably going to look a bit different just because it's, you know, almost 30, 40 years later than when I was a kid. So times have certainly changed, but you can still get them outdoors. You can still get them into things that they enjoy. And you just have to take a different approach to doing it, right? You know, if dad's going to go out and shoot his bow, but you can, you know, maybe there's a, you know, child's recurve or something like that, that they can shoot at some foam and, you know, build some confidence and have some fun, but then also, you know, do the face painting, do the bubbles. 'Cause what kid doesn't love bubbles and foam and all that. And then at the end of the day, you know, you're in the car going home and they're like, you know, mom, dad, like, that was the best day ever. Like, it was so much fun. I can't wait to do it again next year. And then it becomes a yearly thing. Right. And then as maybe they get, and as they get older, well, now, you know, maybe they're, you know, early teenagers or something. And now all of a sudden it's, hey, dad, I want to bring my bow. Or can I get a bow so I can come shoot with you? Right. And that's where
it's easy then. The transition isn't so stark.
Yeah.
They've been there. They understand it. They've, you know. So, yeah, I mean, really, as we think about the future generation, that's something that I talk about, you know, not too frequently, but it's there a lot. It's, like, definitely in my mind because I got three kids and, you know, it's more than just about us. It's about the next generation. I think that's been the case for most generations. They're always thinking about the next one. So it's funny when the you know, baby boomers are going to bash us. It's like, you know, you cared a lot about making a good foundation for us. And here you are, like, bashing our way of life. But, like, you laid that foundation so we could have this life. Like, come on. Yeah,
exactly.
It's all good stuff. So, yeah, dude, it's we'll see how it grows. We're like, already kind of in the planning stages for next year. We're turning it out right out of the gate. We're already trying to line up vendors and trying to look at, like, what is that going to look like? And we can do camping overnight there. So great. So now people, if they are going to drink or whatever, they don't have to drive home. They can literally camp out there. Now we get this campfire kind of experience because there's this huge bonfire pit there.
Yeah.
There's just other dynamics that there'll be more learnings again next year, I'm sure. But we learned a lot about what not to do this year and what we can do more of and so forth. It was really fun. It was a great day.
Yeah. Well, even though obviously we're close enough in proximity, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin, that, yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to keep an eye out for that, because that sounds like a great opportunity to, you know, take a little, you know, kind of long weekend vacation and everyone gets to do something they enjoy. And
yeah. And I'll add this, like, I can share this now that the event is over. We talked about the bows that we gave away. One was a raffle. So, like, you had to put your ticket in and then someone won.
Right.
But the other one, based on your score on the range. And we did it and we'll change it next year a little bit. But this year we did worst score wins the bow.
Oh, Beautiful.
Because we're different. This is the OKS Hunter. So we thought, well, if you shot the worst score, we can lift your spirits by giving you a new bow. And if you shot the worst score, you probably need a new bow. Like, so we did the raffle announcement. We were like the score of the thing. And everyone's thinking like they did the best. Like everyone's like, oh, I didn't do that great. I'm not going to win the bow. I'm like, well, you never know. You never know. You know, there's OKS Hunters out there. Maybe you did really good, you know, and yeah, whatever, Eric, whatever. And then we did this thing. I was like, look, I don't want to embarrass you. That's not the point of this, whoever this person's going to be. But this is what we're doing. And then all of a sudden the room kind of got kind of weird. Like everyone's like, well, you know, actually, I didn't turn in my car because I was really embarrassed with my score.
Yeah, of course, right?
And so we did. We accepted him anyways. And a friend of mine actually won. And he needed a new bow really bad. And he took someone out that had never – he shot the course twice. And he took someone out that had never shot 3D archery before. Former Marine – so a veteran, super good dude. He took some other guy out with his shitty ass bow and shot the worst score on the course because he put more of his energy into helping someone else learn how to shoot on a 3D archery course. I'd never done it before.
And then he won a new bow. He deserves
the bow. He was so happy. It was like such a cool, the whole thing was a cool moment. And everyone's like, was it a success? I'm like, nah, it was fulfilling. It was very gratifying, fulfilling to do that and bring people together. So, I'm not even like looking to use the word success because I don't even know how to measure it. It's like it made my heart happy. It was a really good event.
Yeah. And anytime you're going to have an event like that, especially that, you know, going forward that you're going to try to make very family centric, you know, just being fulfilled, right? Leaving there, seeing all the happy faces and the family interactions, making new friends, getting together with old ones. I mean, that's what those things are all about, right? And I think sometimes people kind of look past that, but you know, if that is your goal from the onset is just to kind of, you know, build that community, right? And grow, you know, the OKS Hunter message and things like that. I mean, that's we'll call it a win. I don't know about, what success looks like, but it's a win.
There was like 100 people there, but we had the right people there and we had a good time and we tried out gear. We set up, there's a lot of trees and open space. So we were setting up saddles and platforms and shooting from saddles. Like people were, you know, you can go to a trade show and you can get in a saddle and that's fine. We were literally shooting from saddles at targets.
Yeah, and there's a big difference.
Be able to shoot your bow. Like it was a difference for people to go, oh yeah, there's a strong side and a weak side. Oh, this feels really different. But I could do it. I have to lean back more. I'll cinch this up. And people really got to get their hands on gear and try stuff out. Like it was pretty neat, man. Honestly, the whole thing was pretty cool.
No, that's great. Have you noticed, you know, throughout the course of, you know, the growth and then obviously the Foam Fest that, you know, more people or people that are reaching out that have been kind of going about hunting in the way they thought they should based on social media, YouTube, you know, with the influencers and things like that. And then after discovering you are like, this is much more my speed. This is where I, you know, quote unquote fit in. Right. In the hunting and, you know, hunting space or the outdoor community.
Yeah, I think what happened right out of the gate when we first launched in June, the number of people that started sending us private messages or direct messages, DMs of their spike buck photos and doe photos. What we noticed was that those photos weren't shared on their own profiles. They were never exposed before. They never saw the light of day, sort of like probably texting their close friends and family. And so we were being treated as though we were close friends or family, like it was a text message almost coming to us. And then over time, slowly and gradually, like people started tagging us in those, they would post it and then tag us. And so I'd like to think we helped kind of create this space of like, it's okay to post that stuff because it means something more than you don't have to always only post because it's a big giant buck.
Right.
There's like this threshold of if it's not an 8-pointer or larger, people don't even want to post it. Like a 6-pointer is questionable. Anything less than that, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Unless people are really confident in their skin and they don't care about that kind of stuff. But a lot of people do care about that judgment because it sucks. Like to get those commentary sucks. And again, it's not everybody, but it takes one or two to really ruin the whole moment.
Yeah.
Because of how loud that negative can be. So I think to answer your question, like, are people becoming more okay with it, so to speak? Yeah. You know, we somewhere along the line, we like anytime someone tags us in a trail cam photo or like a video of like a spike buck coming through, we say, oh, that's Fred, that's our mascot, he's making his rounds and came like to show up, he's doing his job. And so like now we're getting like all these posts of like Fred which is like, you know, any spike buck, or like people go shed hunting. We made a joke about, well, the little ones are harder to find anyways. So you found a little one, like you're actually a better shed hunter than the guys finding big ones. You should take a picture of a little one.
Yeah. And those are easy to find.
Yeah. So they're like sending us antlers that actually look like our logo, which is where it was inspired from. Like I have the antler that I drew the logo from. And, so it's like, oh yeah. When people find our logo, they're like, I found the OKS Hunter logo. So stuff like that's really kind of silly. But it just goes to show there is this embrace of, yeah, it's my tag, it's my hunt. I want to have fun and make memories. Like we are aiming at the broader demographic, the weekend warriors, the Billy Joe lunchbox, you know, the folks that we can relate with. And because I live in reality, I know what it takes to kill a big giant buck. And right now I don't have the ability to sacrifice in my life to go make that happen.
Yeah. Not a lot of us do.
Yeah, I can dream, but I also need to live in reality and know that, look, this is not the time in my life where that needs to be my priority.
Yeah.
Priority number one, dad and husband. Priority number two, my career, my day job. Priority number three, this business. Everything after that is extra shit. Like, if I can get a buck with what I have with that extra, cool. But that I'm probably not going to get a 200-inch deer. That's like really, and if I do, it's going to be very serendipitous. I'm going to be a very lucky human. It's not because I like am the best hunter. But, you know, when I have the time in my life to go do that, I'll go try it. I have a lot of knowledge I've learned over the years of doing this podcast stuff.
Yeah, like, right.
I probably make it happen, but that isn't my focus. And it's not to say we bash on people that do that either. That's not the point. The point is you should just do what makes you happy and not judge other people for, you know, wherever they're at in their stage of the hunting journey. So I think I answered the question.
Yeah, no, you're good. You did. You did absolutely. Very well, I might add. So obviously we're early September here. We're coming into hunting season. Any big plans with that spare time? I mean, is it just going to be, you know, weekend warrior when you get a chance, you're going to get out, or are you going to try to hunt some other neighboring states or anything this year? What does it look like?
No neighboring states. I did Pennsylvania last year for one day. I went out with the Spartan Forge crew for their vet hunt. That was fun. I get to like travel 10 hours in one day and then travel 10 hours the next day back or 2 days Ooh. Later, whatever it was, which was like great for listening to audiobooks. But I'll just hunt wherever I can this year. And Greg and Derek will lean on heavily to get me into good spots. I had to apply to some conservancy property. I haven't heard back yet. So if I get that, that'll change the dynamic a little bit. Beyond that, I'll take what I can get. And I really told my wife, like, last year was really tough. We had our third child a year ago. As of tomorrow, the 6th is my third son's birthday. And I had maybe a little bit too much for that because I was still like not realizing I was a dad of three.
Yeah.
And so this year I think I got to get taper back and try to jam pack what I can into the first 2 weeks of November. Short of like getting up for the first hunt. And if I get some opportunities here and there, I'll take them. My wife knows that this is the life that I live and what we signed up for to some degree. But I'm also, it's not that I'm like, some people like, you go to ask your wife, like, grow a pair. I'm like, well, that's not what's happening here. I'm just being respectful. And
exactly.
I actually like and enjoy being around my family and kids, and they come first. So, but I get really torn because I'm like, oh, the wind shifted and this is the freaking day in the spot. Like, I should really be out hunting today.
Yeah,
and
we all go through that.
Be like, they just go, I'm like, okay, thank you. And then I go.
So,
my plan is to do what I can. And, you know, we might try our hand at this filming stuff. We're going to hire potentially a videographer or two. I'm not going to be doing it because that's a terrible idea. And so maybe we'll be able to actually share some of the biggest request we got from folks at trade shows and so forth was like, we want to see you guys behind camera. We want to see a show. And so we're taking that feedback and we're going to see if we can make it happen. But it's expensive to pay people like that. And it's expensive to get on network and so forth. So we're not, when I said it before, we're early, we're financially probably too early to do a really good job. So again, I'm a big believer on the business side of placing what I would call small bets.
Yeah.
And then if there's some coming back and we get some positive feedback or signals or like monetary return to some degree that like actually pay for the thing we're trying to do, then we'll do more of it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's tough because there's a lot of competing things right now. It's hard to manage cash flow of product and inventory and ads and all the stuff we're doing. It's luckily I have Tyler on the operation side, like keeping this ship running on that side of it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, well, I mean, I'll give you an open invitation, man. If you ever want to come to Michigan, I've got my in-laws have some property that I hunt every year, so we don't have to we get the luxury of hunting private land, but open invitation, man. Anytime you want to come to Michigan and just experience something a little bit different and see how okay hunters do it in Michigan, yeah, you're more than welcome, man.
I'd be happy to. There's a point in time where I'll probably be able to take you up on that. So as long as that invitation stays open, at some point I'll try to cash in on it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Eric, I know it's Labor Day. It's the night of Labor Day. You've been at it all day trying to prepare for these birthday parties, so I'm going to let you get out of here. But if people don't already know, where can they find the OKS Hunter at?
Yeah, the best place to start. Thanks for doing that. If you've made it this far, appreciate you listening to us ramble on. But it's OKAYEST, OKAYEST, hunter.com. And from there, you can go everywhere. But you should have a pretty easy time finding us on social.
Yeah, yeah. And for those listening, if you haven't already checked out the OKS Hunter, please be sure and do so, because great material or great products and merch and everything, like Eric mentioned earlier, but also the memes, you know, come for the memes, stay for the merch, because you're going to get a good laugh and it's going to be a lot of relatable stuff. And you can certainly feel comfortable in your own skin after seeing some of the stuff that these guys do. So you guys will certainly enjoy it if you haven't already. Eric, thank you again, man. I appreciate it and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Likewise. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Take care. All right. Well, thank you again to Eric for joining me on the podcast today and quite honestly, bailing me out of a jam. I would also like to thank the partners of the podcast, Hardside Hydration, Stone Glacier, Go Hunt, Wild Rivers Coffee, Outdoor Class, and of course, 2% for Conservation. Please be sure to go out and support the companies and the brands that support this podcast and help make it possible. And if you're interested in learning more about 2% for Conservation, you can visit their website, fishandwildlife.org. And over there, you're going to see all the certified brands, including the OKS Hunter, that have committed to conservation, and that you should support when you shop. I also encourage you guys to give 2% a follow on social media, where it's going to be only positive conservation-driven content landing in your feeds. So again, if you'd like to learn more about 2% for Conservation, you can look for them online on social media or at fishandwildlife.org. Thanks for joining me this week, everyone. Be sure to check out theaverageconservationist.com, catch up on all your latest podcast episodes, grab some merch to help support conservation in the process. And until next week, as always, stay safe out there and remember that conservation starts with you.